You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living. This is Eileen Dillon, your show creator and host. And I want to advise you that today's show with Mary O'Malley, when we're talking about what's in the way is the way, was pre-recorded due to work and travel schedule of our guest. So we can't have her answer questions directly to you, but I will be available on the chat both at Blog Talk Radio and at Emotional Pro. And I also want to advise you that coming up immediately after the broadcast of Mary O'Malley's show is a half-hour, very special session with Sherina Liu, who is a Universal Intelligence Group mentor, answering whatever questions you have from your own higher self. So I look forward to sharing this with you, and I'm glad you're here today.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Neil Donald Walsh, who's author of Conversations with God, wrote the foreword for Mary O'Malley's book, which he calls an easy-to-follow instruction book showing you the way to a better life without needing a single thing to be different. You retain your inner peace, your outer joy, and your overall well-being. I'm talking today with Mary O'Malley about how you can move beyond your struggle into the joy of being fully alive. Welcome to Full Power Living. We're bringing you a wide variety of guests and programs with the aim of understanding the power and importance of human emotions. We're broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living and on emotionalpro.com, though you might be listening to this from your iTunes download or on our archives. Wherever you hear this program, thank you for helping us with our mission of awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotion. Mary O'Malley is an awakening teacher, an author, a motivational speaker, a retreat leader, and a private counselor with over 30 years of experience. We're talking with her today about ideas from her latest book, What's in the Way is the Way. Her previously published books include The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and the Magical Forest of Aliveness. Her websites are Mary O'Malley, MaryOmalley, MaryOmalley.com, and whatsintheway.com. That's all one word, no caps. So, Mary O'Malley, here's our warm welcome for being with us today on Full Power Living.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Eileen.
Mary, you're inviting people to shift their perception. Under this shift of perception is understanding that life is for each one of us, and you're inviting people to show up for life and be curious about it instead of always trying to change it. What do you mean by life is for each one of us?
Well, let's go back. Let's begin by laying the foundation through the metaphor at the beginning of this book, and I think it will help people really understand what we'll be exploring.
Okay.
And that is the meadow metaphor. Just imagine a beautiful meadow. You know, I live here in the Northwest, and have, you know, backpacked around Mount Rainier countless of times, and there's these beautiful meadows with babbling brooks and marmots and beautiful wildflowers and, of course, the snow-capped mountains. So imagine this beautiful meadow, and everything flows in that meadow. Day flows into night, winter into spring. The water flows down the mountain. The light flows, the sound flows, and nothing in that meadow needs anything to be any different than what it is. We lived in that meadow. We were that meadow when we were very young. And then slowly and surely, we started taking on what I call the storyteller. But it really is our self-image. And image is the important word here. And image is not the real thing. that by the time we were six, we crawled into a story about ourselves and about life. So imagine that the clouds in the sky, flowing through the sky, begin to lower. And slowly and surely, they start to whirl and swirl around you. And you can no longer see the meadow. All you can see are the stories in your head. And the key here is you've never left the meadow. There's a natural okayness inside of each one of us that we lose sight of most of the time because life has turned into a problem to be solved. And so we run around the meadow, you know, and trying to, you know, get away from what we don't like and go towards what we do like. But it's so important to recognize that we've never left the meadow. Now, that cloud bank is made up of what I call spells. And I love the word spells because it's something that's laid over the top of us. It is not true, and it can be lifted. And there's eight core spells in the book, but some of the spells are, you know, our not-enoughness, our loneliness, our judgment, our shame, you know, our no way out, our depression, our despair. All of these are what make up that cloud bank. But life wants us to wake up out of the cloud bank and come back to life. That's our deepest longing. So having worked with people for 30 years and having been, you know, awakening myself, you know, since my 20s, I began to really, truly see this little statement that came out in one fell swoop while writing the book. Life is set up to bring up what has been bound up so it can open up to be freed up so we can show up for life. That's what I mean by life will put you in the exact situations you need in order to see the spells you took on so you can thin this cloud bank around you so you can come back to life, to know the joy of again being a part of this great flow of life.
So let me just note to people that little saying that you just quoted is in chapter 6 of your book. I was going to be asking you about it, but obviously we are way ahead of my script, so we'll just enjoy it. You know what comes to mind as I'm listening to you, Mary, is the play or movie Brigadoon, where the village gets covered over by clouds and is not visible to people except every 100 years. But the picture is that what you're really offering people is the opportunity to be able to visit their real self, their meadow, their brigadoon,
right,
if you will, at will, when they're ready. And that's a really lovely picture.
Yeah, there's two aspects of this work. One is inviting people back into the joy of being fully alive without a story. I love Alan Watts' famous quote, "No matter how many times you say the word water, it will never be wet." And what we long for is the wetness of life. And that's why I do retreats in beautiful places like Costa Rica and Hawaii, you know, so that there is this full invitation to come back to life. But then how you get to be here more and more so is discovering how to see what takes you away and to see it with great curiosity and great compassion. And it becomes an adventure, life does. You begin to wake up every morning not afraid of what life is going to bring you because you know it's going to show you not only how to open to life, but to help you see what you took on that keeps you away from this joy of being fully alive.
As I was reading What's in the Way is the Way, what I remembered as you were talking about this was when I was on my grandparents' farm. I lived with my grandparents when I was five for a year, just me. the wonderful things that I used to be able to do, go out into a pasture and lie among
right.
the cows and watch
yes.
the clouds overhead.
Yes.
And in your book, you talk about how when we were kids, there was an okayness to life. We didn't
yes.
have thoughts in our head, and we weren't
yes.
looking for something better. We were just open to
yes.
what was.
Yes.
And that was the experience. I guess now that I think of it, I was in a meadow. I called it a pasture, but it's the same
yes.
thing, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In the meadow of your being, where there's
uh-huh.
no past nor future, but most of us have crawled into this self, this conditioned self, that feels separate from life, and it's a little problem factory. Just imagine a factory with this conveyor belt coming out, and you know, most of the problems, you hardly even see anything on the conveyor belt. It's just like a grain of sand because you're upset at the length of the stoplight, you know,
mm-hmm.
or a spot on your shirt. But this storyteller in our head can get really, really get its panties in a bunch about our health, about our finances, about our relationships. If we only knew that life is a setup to bring up what has been bound up, then we'd be curious about what these challenges are bringing us.
Mm-hmm.
And we would see through them and discover the joy of again being available to life.
Okay, so what is it about curiosity that brings us back there?
Curiosity doesn't need anything to be any different than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost sight of our curiosity. Most people, in fact, somebody was just telling me in the Washington Post, they had a study, somebody did a study, and I may not get the facts all correct because I heard this secondhand, but they invited people to be in a room completely by themselves with no distraction for 15 minutes. And the only thing they could do is give themselves quite a strong electric shock. And 70% of the men chose the electric shocks rather than being with themselves.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that we have lost this ability to really be there like you were, you know, in your pasture meadow, you know, that you could be open to life. The ordinary is extremely extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in a mind that always wants things to be different than what they are, and that's our suffering. And you can go all the way to your deathbed and say, my goodness, what was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can begin to allow life to show you how to come back to life, to the 10,000 joys, and the 10,000 sorrows.
I like the way you put this. In my work over the last 42 years as a therapist,
mm-hmm.
I've learned to, and as a human being, I've learned to view our earth as a giant school.
Right,
which I think fits in, and that we've all come here to learn and grow.
Right.
And you say the challenges of your life are for you. They're the yellow highlighter of life showing you the
yeah.
clouds of your reactive mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so instead of seeing bad things that happen to us, what you're doing, as I do in the giant school metaphor, you're seeing challenges as gifts or opportunities or doorways.
Yeah. Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Well, this conditioned self that most of us crawled into, which is this cloud bank, you know, that's how I like to describe it, you know, it really, really struggles with most everything. And it doesn't see that theme in all the great myths of the world. You know, the key to the castle where the princess is, or the magic wand, or the holy grail that the hero or the heroine is on a journey to. The key is not sitting down on the side of the road, that there's a journey there. And oftentimes the key or the keys are found in the places where the hero or the heroine most doesn't want to go. That's a theme in all of our myths that, you know, that have been down through the eons. And so what we don't realize is that in this conditioned self, everything is happening to us, and we have to struggle with it. We have to fight it, and we think that it's happening because we did something wrong, or God fell asleep on the job, or we're being punished. But when you start waking up, you begin to realize that life is speaking to you. And a good example out of my life is that I was raised in the kind of family that you wouldn't wish on a child. And the main state that I took on was dread. Mm. You know, yes, mm-hmm. I had deep loneliness, and yes, I had, you know, fear, good old ordinary everyday anxiousness and fear. But dread was this feeling like something really bad was going to happen, and it was going to happen because I did something wrong. And it was this horrible feeling deep in the heart of my belly that I once gained 97 pounds in a year to try to get away from. At the same time that I was washing a lot of it down with alcohol and taking every drug that I had could get my hands on. And so I lived for the first 27 years of my life trying to get away from the pain that was buried deep inside of me that I took on when I was very little. And then a yoga teacher came into my life and taught me about curiosity. He taught me about the power of being curious about what I was experiencing rather than falling into it, trying to get away from it, trying to figure it out, or trying to understand it. This was totally new to me. And it was a very powerful, I began to create space around the dread, but it wasn't until I met a man called Stephen Levine, who I had the very good grace to hang out with a lot over the years. He's not teaching anymore, and he wrote many books on death and dying, but he really wrote about how to be fully alive. And he taught me not only how to be curious, how to let go of the fixing, figuring out, getting rid of, and rising up away from mode, to actually going towards, but going with great compassion. And now I travel the world. I don't overeat. I don't do anything. You know, I have a lot of fun, but I don't drink. I don't do drugs or anything, you know, like that. I hardly even take, you know, Tylenol, you know. Mm-hmm. But that is the power of moving beyond the fix-it mode and into the curiosity, compassionate mode. I call it compassionate curiosity in The Gift of Our Compulsions, and learning how to stand with these states that literally they are like clouds that we have fixed inside of us because mm-hmm. we're afraid of them. And we can learn how to be with them in a way that they pass right through.
That's great. You alluded to something there that I would like to explore a little bit more when we come back from our break. And that is, you said something like you grew up in a family that nobody would want to be from. And if we go back and listen, you'll hear me chuckle because I would say that about my life also.
Right.
But it fits what you're talking about, because your early life or my early life, those were challenges of our lives.
Right.
And by turning and finally being with those challenges, being curious, I had an experience, for example, where I realized that I believed myself to be unlovable and not attractive. And I had my second divorce by age 37, and I was fixing my hair in the bathroom one day and looked into the mirror and said, "You don't look so bad." And this voice shot up inside of me and said, "Yeah, for a flawed person."
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And it was getting curious about that message, like, why in the world would I do that to myself, you know?
Yeah, that's what I call a spell. That, Eileen, that's what I call a spell. And they were laid over the top of us when we were young, because I love to say that most of us were raised by unconscious giants. They may have loved us, but they had left themselves a long time ago, and we just absorb these spells from them. And then they run us from underneath our everyday awareness until we meet them with curiosity and compassion.
Yes. We need to take a break. I'm talking today with Mary O'Malley, who's founder of the organization Awakening. She's a counselor in private practice in Kirkland, Washington, and she invites you to clarity, compassion, and trust, which is accessible, as we've been talking about, no matter what's happening in your life. So stay with us when we return for more with Mary O'Malley on Full Power Living.
Eileen Dillon is a certified senior life mentor with Accessing Universal Intelligence. She's available to conduct mentoring sessions with you to help you understand, change, and evolve using the advice of your own higher self. You can be anywhere in the world. Sessions are conducted through Skype. For more information about these life mentoring sessions, fees, and how to register, go to www.emotionalpro.com and click on the mentoring link at the top. Get personally tailored assistance with your toughest life questions. Visit mentoring@emotionalpro.com today.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Next week, we're talking about Dr. Dan Siegel's concept, MindSight, a skill that can change your brain. I personally am excited to find out what MindSight is all about. That's one of the joys of having this radio program, is all the wonderful things that I'm able to learn and then have the pleasure of talking with the authors of these ideas, as I'm doing with Mary O'Malley today. So be sure to listen next Thursday, November 20th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. And I also invite you to sign up at emotionalpro.com to be on our mailing list. I'd like to share with you the details for upcoming shows, and also I'm involved in a number of projects which we're involved in that are contributing to personal and world transformation. So sign up now at emotionalpro.com. For example, I'm newly back from Ireland, where I spent time working on life skills for children with the parenting group, Parenting 2.0, which is the largest online parenting group. It's on LinkedIn. You might want to check that out. My guest today is author, professional speaker, and transformational life coach, Mary O'Malley. And we're discussing ideas from her latest book, What's in the Way is the Way. So, Mary, you've been helping people find peace and heal shame and fear and anxiety and build their self-empowerment for more than 30 years. And in the early part, in the last segment, you said that you had a lot of issues yourself. But what drew you to this particular work? What drew you to this more universal, spiritual way of working, if you will?
Because I had tried everything else and it didn't work. Everybody had tried to fix me. And when you are in that much pain, and, I went into mental hospitals, I did all sorts of, drugs, I did hypnotherapy, I did, you name it, I just can't even remember the whole list, at this point. And when you are in that much pain and somebody tries to fix you, all you hear is, there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just stumbled into it. My mother was going to a yoga weekend, and she couldn't go, and she said, would you be willing to go? And I was 27. It was kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I guess so. And when I walked into that room, my life was a B-grade, black and white, grainy horror movie. And at moments in there, it turned into a Dolby surround sound, Technicolor Panavision movie, because he was saying something that I had never heard before, and that is that nothing needs to be fixed, nothing needs to be changed. Your job is to meet what is, and that's the art of transformation. And yet when I walked out of that room, I couldn't tell you what he said. All I knew was that it was something that really drew me. And so I saw him four times, and the third time I went in and recorded the whole thing and wrote it down. and when my house and store burnt to the ground, that's what I grieved, was that notebook, because I couldn't yet quite hold on to it. I have to go back to the notebook over and over again, because I was so steeped in the spell that there was something wrong with me, and I'll never get out of this. There's no way out. Oh my God, that was a very big spell that I took on. And then I went to him the last time he came up from California, and I told him, I said that, you know, I wrote this all down, and the book is now gone, and I want to tell you what I think you're saying, and I want to say it in one sentence, and you tell me whether I'm in the right ballpark. And I said these words: in the seeing is the movement. And he said, yes. And what he means by that is it's in learning how to turn towards and actually experience what you are experiencing, that these spells that end up as bound up energy in our body and in our mind and in our emotions, this is just our bound up joy, and it desperately wants to be set free. Now, we're not used to doing that, and that's why there's a 10-week process in the book that very slowly and methodically begins to wake up curiosity inside of you. So by the end of the 10 weeks, you will have a much greater capacity to be with loneliness rather than believe the story of it, or going and eating yourself, you know, sick, or drinking yourself sick, or anything to get away from loneliness or shame or fear or dread or not enoughness. And So that was it was a gift in a way that I had taken on so much heartache and almost died of it a number of times, and a gift that this naturally came into my life. And I was taught how to be curious. And, of course, it was like a child learning how to walk. I would be curious, and I would fall on my bum again. But slowly and surely I could walk, and then I could run, and then now I can run marathons. I mean, not literally, but, you know, the marathon of life, which is the invitation to come back to life.
I really like that. Part of what you're talking about there, I went to a lecture by an East Indian yogi, Dr. Kaushik, K-A-U-S-H-I-K, many years ago in San Francisco, and he was talking about freedom, and he
right.
kept talking about it, and I thought I really understood what he was saying, and apparently a lot of us did, and he was, you know, all dressed in white and robes and sitting in the lotus position and so forth in front of probably about 300 or 400 people. And he all of a sudden stopped and said, "You're not getting what I'm talking about." And what he had been talking about was something he called facing fact.
Yes.
And he told us what, when you face fact, you get free.
Yeah.
And then when he said we weren't getting it, he said, as he's sitting in the lotus position in front of this group, he said, suppose somebody walks in this door over here and they have a gun and they point it at me and say they're going to kill me and they're intending to come in and kill me. What do you think I would do? And everybody looked at this man and thought they could never figure out what he would do. Certainly he wouldn't do what they would do. But he said, I'm still attached to my body. I might bleed. You know, I might try to run. But what if I really got that this person was going to kill me? What then?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when I get it, then in that moment, I'm free. He may.
Yes.
Destroy
yes.
my body, but he does not have my mind.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And is it our essence, which is awareness. And awareness has no difficulty with anything. And if you think about what we have crawled into, which is this mind that always is wanting things to be different than what they are and thinks that its peace will be in the future when, and fill in the blank, that's our suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that space that all of that is happening in, that is who we really are. And more so, even the deepest of suffering, even the deepest of suffering. You know, I have two children. They both have been through, you know, really a lot, you know, in the last 6 months. And it has brought up, you know, a lot of fear, and it's brought up a lot of despair, you know, and over and over again, I would watch the mind trying to tighten down around these. And then I would just soften and be with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would pass through, and then I could hold the space for my children. They're both doing, you know, much better now. You know, thank heavens. But that we it is so seductive to resist what we are experiencing. We've been highly trained. And in fact, I say in the Gift of Our Compulsions that the U.S. Surgeons General report is that 98%, every pound that is lost in America is gained back within a year and a half plus some. And the key
wow.
there is the plus some. And if you see Americans walking down the street, we have been at war with fat and overeating for a couple of decades now, and we just keep on getting bigger and bigger, because what we don't see is what we resist, we empower.
Mm-hmm.
What you turn towards, you set it free.
The as you will hear at the end of the show, the ending words, and I've used them both in therapy and in my life for this show, are to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Yeah.
Which is another way, I think, of saying what you're saying, which is that wherever we are focusing our attention, that is going to grow. And so as you are saying in this, in your book so beautifully, you know, stop focusing on the problem and start focusing on who you want to be.
I think that that is a important piece in awakening.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that takes us into time.
And oh,
my
very
experience
good.
Is uh-huh. that the one of the names of one of my CD sets is turning difficulties into doorways. That in my experience, Eileen, what life has to offer for you is so much more than you could possibly imagine on your own. And the doorway into that which life is offering you is where the energy is bound up. And so I would say there's a place in the middle there, you know, and that is to focus on what is right now. You know, we have forgotten that life is a trustable process. And this is getting into a little bit of a sticky place. But if you understand that you were once one cell and it was so tiny that it couldn't be seen by the naked eye, and it developed into 70 trillion cells that all know how to work together without a thought for you, from you, you can begin to get the vast intelligence of life. The other piece we need to add here is the yin and yang symbol. It's one of the most powerful symbols that there is. And we have been taught that darkness is something that is bad and wrong, and we fight it. I just wrote an article that my publicist is working on getting published about, you know, when you look at the evening news, oh, my God, you know, you think yeah, everything is going in the wrong direction. But I invited people into this thing of looking at, I didn't talk about the yin and yang symbol in there, but the yin and yang symbol is the quickest way to get to this. Here is the dark, and here is the light. They are not on opposite sides of a line. They are each nestled in with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And in the light is a point of dark. And in the dark is a point of light. And so what I'm offering is the possibility of ending war. And war is about two different things. I want life to be this way, and I don't want life to be this way. But that middle path is, can I be with life as it is? And the reason why we don't is because we are afraid of what we call the dark. And yet, every atom has a positive and negative charge in life. Plants grow in the dark. You know, babies incubate in the dark. The dark is not what it looks like on the surface. That's where rubies, diamonds, and emeralds are created. And it's where we can find the treasures in our life. So, yes, hold to the highest of what you would imagine you would love to have in your life, but then show up for the process that life is giving you.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. There's a quote that I drew out of your book regarding fear. Fear is always happening within a greater space in you that is not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Who we are is that which can see fear. We are not fear itself. What is that, an acronym? Fake evidence appearing as real.
Oh, right. Yes.
And the title of that chapter in the new book is Fear, Nothing to Be Afraid of. So that's why I'm saying fear is, or darkness is not what it looks like. To be afraid of darkness has gotten us into war inside of ourselves and on this planet.
That's I'm getting encouraged with so many people or sharing a message similar to what you just said,
right?
Which is that we are moving towards something better. There are too many people now becoming aware of what we can do. So I'm very encouraged by your words.
Have you ever heard of Elizabeth Sartoris?
I've heard of her. I don't know.
Yeah, she's an evolutionary biologist, but she has a wonderful take on all this, and she relates it to the butterfly story. And here is this being called a caterpillar, which is really pretty destructive relative to its size. And, you know, it has a very small, narrow world, you know, a tree, you know. And then it eventually goes into a cocoon, and what they now understand that in the cocoon, the caterpillar turns to goo. And out of the goo comes what they call imaginal cells.
Right.
That's the first forerunner of the butterfly, and the goo always kills them. The old resists it, whether it's inside of us or in the world, the old resists the new. But that causes the imaginal cells to come together, you know, just like we're coming together into communities. And out of that old, the new is born. And here's a butterfly that can, you know, it gives. It doesn't just take like the caterpillar. It actually gives, it pollinates, and its view, its world, for heaven's sakes, the monarchs fly from Canada to Mexico. That's a lot bigger than a branch of one tree, you know. Yes, I believe in the last chapter of this book is all about, you know, how we are part of the healing of our planet, that it looks like things are going in the wrong direction, but it really is the dying of the old. And I agree with you. There's more and more of us that can live in the place that is beyond war, whether it's inside of ourselves or how we view the world. And that's what heals the world.
Thank you. It's time for our second break. I'm talking today with Mary O'Malley, who's author of What Is in the Way Is the Way. Mary will, I'll be talking with Mary about the four tools of awakening and the six phases of consciousness when we return here on Full Power Living. How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them.
Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. Mary O'Malley is my guest. So, Mary, I want to talk about the five core qualities. Is it four or five? One, two, three, four. There are five core qualities
of the meadow.
The meadow, right. Yeah. You list them as flow, spaciousness, light, love, and stillness or peace. How does bringing those to the meadow develop peace in us, our beingness in us?
Well, it's not so much us bringing it to the meadow.
Ah.
It's us seeing enough of the spells, enough of this cloud bank, that you begin to experience yourself as a part of the flow. You begin to experience a lightness in your being that some people say, my God, I remember this from when I was young, and there's this spaciousness, each in their own way were having difficulty, there would be this tightening that would come, but I would bring it consciousness, I would see it, and then there would be space around it. I wouldn't get caught into its web. And of course, the love, I mean, in my world, that's what this is all about. I don't know if you have talked to Evan Alexander, but he was the man that was at Harvard and a neuroscientist, and then he got spinal meningitis and was in a coma for 7 days and the family was told on the sixth day they had the CAT scans, his frontal lobe was Swiss cheese, and he had a 1% chance of living, and if he did, he would be a vegetable, and he mm-hmm. woke up the next day and was back to work in 7 days.
Yes, and, I did. We did have him, yes.
Oh, yes, and mm-hmm. when asked, what did you experience when you were out of this very narrow mind-body system? And what he said, and I won't get the words exactly, but it's close to it, love is the reality of all realities. It's the incomprehensibly wondrous truth that lies at the heart of everything that has ever existed or ever will exist. And so my experience, I woke up quite dramatically, when I was 28, I saw this. Many people have seen this. Anita Morjani, who also wrote a book about her near-death experience, saw it. That I'm looking out this beautiful bay window there's many birds flying, and there's, an eagle that comes through every once in a while, and there's wispy clouds and a blue sky, and there's a magnolia tree and a dogwood and a cedar. All of them are an expression of this, and you can't put it into words, but the closest word, and I agree with Eben, would be love. And mm-hmm. that's what we're homesick for. And the more you see this love, this, you become a part of the flow, there's this spaciousness, there's a lightness of being, you discover that who you really are is this stillness deep inside of you that can embrace whatever is. And that is what will heal our world.
Wow. I feel like I want to take a few moments of quiet when you say something like that to just let it sink in.
Right.
So you've talked some about the tools of awakening. The question is, as you point out, that as we begin to see our spells and see through them, then we begin awakening. But there are tools of awakening. The one you've talked a lot about is curiosity. But you also have partnering with your wisdom self, healing your heart, and discomfort. And I want to ask you just to give us a brief overview of how those work to help us wake up, awaken.
I discovered this just on my own in desperation in the middle of the night when I was a single parent so many, many years ago and wondering if I was going to be able to pay the rent and so on and so forth. And I began to ask life questions. And I was so desperate, I didn't even look for the answers and questions. I began to become the answers. And so I think I talk about this partnering with our wisdom self in every single one of my books. Because it's something that we don't understand. We keep on trying to figure this out through our minds, and that's like using one cylinder of a 12-cylinder car. And as you begin to discover how to ask a question without looking for an answer so that life can get a word in edgewise, you begin to partner with life. You begin to realize you're not the one that has to figure it out and fix it and change it. And so if people are really interested in that, I will be glad to send them, just have them email me at awaken@maryomalley.com, and I will send them a chapter that from The Gift of Our Compulsions, which is about questions. The second thing, the healing of the heart, that's who we really are. Oh, I wish we had a whole other hour, Eileen, because there's so much study. I was interviewed for a book called M-Braining, and it's for multiple braining. And they did they gathered 600 of the leading edge studies about how, you know, we have three brains: the mental brain, the heart brain, and the abdominal brain. And it is well proven now that the heart is the main brain.
Right.
And that this is, you know, people say, oh, come back to your heart, that's mushy. Oh, my goodness. Coming back to your heart is to tap into the wisdom at the heart of life. And all of us shut down our hearts. It wasn't safe for them to be open when we were young. And so it's a journey. A man once said many years ago, the longest 18 inches in the world is the journey from the mind to the heart. You know? But that's what all my books are about, and my retreats and everything is really, truly how to come back to this main brain, to this wisdom that is your heart, that isn't at war with anything. And, of course, how do we do that? Well, we trust discomfort. Discomfort is one of the most powerful teachers we have, because we can see how discomfort, we try to get away from it. And it's like, you know, I live in the Northwest and backpack, and, you know, we're taught that if you come across a bear in the woods, you don't run away. It will run after you. And so discomfort is always coming bearing a gift. And as you learn through skills, that's why I do the 10-week series in the new book, as you learn the skills of turning towards, which are curiosity and compassion or spaciousness, I oftentimes use that word, then discomfort becomes your wake-up call. So yeah, you really get this sense that, you know, what I'm offering is life is becoming an adventure. It's not this problem to be solved or this thing to kind of just drag yourself through. It really is an alive, amazing adventure that life is saying, stay open to it all, and I will bring you home.
My older sister, she's about 2 years older than me, lived here in my home with my family and me in 2004 and 2005 as she was dying of ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to the, I'm paying attention to the poignancy. We, of course, had hospice at one point, and
right.
the hospice nurses kept offering her the cocktail, the morphine cocktail, and she would refuse it. Now, my sister was a dancer and a performance teacher, and she was very much in her body, even as the cancer
right.
was destroying it. And so the nurse would say to my sister, "Do you have pain? We have medication for pain." And my
yeah.
sister, with a somewhat disgusted voice, would say, "No, I don't have pain. I have discomfort."
Absolutely. And it you know, Stephen Levine, the man that taught me, you know, a lot of this, is that he said over and over again, pain is a given in life. Suffering is the resistance to it.
Right.
And that is what goes into suffering. And that's why, you know, one thread of this work is learning how to not be afraid of discomfort, because there's something in there that wants to open up.
Right. And you talk about aliveness. My sister, 7 weeks before she died of ovarian cancer, two nights in a row gave a one-hour presentation, a show, a dance.
Ah.
And
yes.
she called it The Last Dance. And she talked about
yes.
her, she presented her journey as a dancer and what cancer was doing to her
yeah.
dancer self.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
incredibly powerful. But when you're talking about life is an adventure, that's one of the things I was really impressed with my sister. And this is kind of what you're talking about, too. Is her life was an adventure right up to the end.
Exactly. Exactly. And our suffering is that we don't like pain, so we turn it suffering. We are at war with life, whether it's the length of the stoplight or how our hair looks, but definitely, you know, our health or our mates or our job. And what I am saying is, bloom where you're planted. That life has you there because there's something you're ready to see. Strengthen the muscle of your curiosity. Be interested. And life will open doorways for you that you didn't know were there.
Mm. Like you said, I think I could talk with you for quite a while, but we've come around to the end of this show, really. And I know you're very busy, because I know that a lot of people are hungry for your very loving,
yeah.
Supportive message. So I want to thank you for taking your time to be with us today here on Full Power Living. Mary, I appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my joy, Eileen. And the earth will be healed one person at a time. Because as I say, that what's happening with Israel and Palestine happens inside of all human beings at some level. And Ukraine and in Africa. And as each one of us, one person at a time, discover how to heal the war inside of ourselves, our world will be transformed. No matter what it looks like right now. Our world will be transformed. We will come into our butterflyness.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for your message.
You are welcome from my heart.
All right. Let me remind you that Mary's websites are Mary O'Malley, MaryOmalley.com, and whatsintheway.com. And she also offered an email address that you can write to her for her offering, which is awaken@maryomalley.com.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, join me for my conversation with Dr. Dan Siegel when we talk about mind sight, a skill that can change your brain. And that's on Thursday, November 20th at 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern. Paul Johnson of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you very much, Paul, and for all the years you've been such a great friend and producer. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Eileen Dillon is a certified senior life mentor with Accessing Universal Intelligence. She's available to conduct mentoring sessions with you to help you understand, change, and evolve using the advice of your own higher self. You can be anywhere in the world. Sessions are conducted through Skype. For more information about these life mentoring sessions, fees, and how to register, go to www.emotionalpro.com and click on the mentoring link at the top. Get personally tailored assistance with your toughest life questions. Visit mentoring@emotionalpro.com today.
Hi, this is Eileen Dillon again. Wasn't that a fantastic show with Mary? I look forward to sharing the other one that we have for you on the gift of your compulsions in late January. And I'll share with you that I just sent off a request. You may have noticed in listening to this show that Mary suggested she could talk to me for an hour on healing of the heart. So I've sent off a request to her assistant to find out if Mary can actually do a program on that topic, which we will post for you for January 1st. A fabulous way to start our new year is to learn and understand how to heal our own heart. So stay tuned. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, do so, and then you can find out if I'm successful in doing that. Well, we have a continuation of our show today, a very special half hour that's precisely for you to help you with whatever issues are plaguing you, bothering you, that you'd like to know the answer to. In March of 2013, I interviewed an Australian man, Daniel Rechnitzer, on this program. He was talking about ideas from his book, The All-Knowing Diary, and he told me that he can access a person's higher self and get answers for that person that will remove blockages to the life they want to lead. He could also release limiting beliefs and set the person on a course of working with truth rather than with the many untruths that most of us have gathered to ourselves since our birth on this planet. Well, since I had no knowledge and no way to get it of what beliefs I may have developed in the first 3 years of life, because I had been taken from my birth mother and nobody else in my life had been around at that time, I was taken from her when I was 3. I asked him to tell me the beliefs that had been limiting my ability to earn and amass money during my life. He went right to 2 years old, and he told me the beliefs I was holding from that time that not only rang true with my heart, but I knew they were most likely totally true from what I did know about my early life. And that short demonstration set me free in an area for which I had been seeking answers for more than 50 years. No one else I had asked in all that time or consulted with had ever been able to tell me the truth and set me free from that early time of my life. So that's why I decided to study with Daniel and his lovely wife, Sonia, who are co-founders of Accessing Universal Intelligence. You can find them on the web at discoverui.com. So when they came to the U.S. a short time later, I studied with them. I wanted to know how to connect with my higher self on an at-will basis, and I wanted to know how to get answers for others, and I wanted to know how to teach children to do this so that they'd have these skills throughout their lives. Well, when I went to the class, the first person I met was a young woman named Sharina Liu. During the course, Sharina, who'd been trained as a Universal Intelligence Group mentor so she could do the same kinds of things Daniel Rechnitzer had done, she circulated through the group and gave personal messages to class members. I was struck with her caring, her ability, and her seeming accuracy. Now, as I've gotten to know her more over the last year or so, she's remained the same. Now, she's the youngest practicing Universal Intelligence Group mentor in the world. And she gives private mentoring sessions, helps with classes, and shares the word that what she and Daniel can do, anyone can do, everyone can do. So it's my pleasure to host yet another Australian-born Universal Intelligence Group mentor to answer your questions, Sharina Liu. Sharina, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. It's awesome to be here.
I know you have a story about getting connected with UI Group 2. So start us off by telling how you got yourself connected.
Sure thing. So, cool. Basically, for a really long time, I had been searching for something more, but I wasn't actually conscious to that. I was just living my life, cruising along, thinking that, oh, my life was okay, wasn't good, wasn't bad, but it was okay. And I honestly felt like that would be my life. And when I was in my last year of university, so I was 21, my sister and my mother actually started talking about this thing called Universal Intelligence. And at the time, it just went through one ear, went out the other, because I was of the firm mindset that I'm going to finish my university degree, criminology and psychology. I'm going to get a job in that area. I'm going to stay in Australia forever. And that's about it. But then...
That's not where you are now, I know.
No. But then my sister said to me, hey, just come along to a basic class, see how you go. And basically at the time, I thought my only motivation was, well, she's going to drive to this class, I'll probably get a free meal out of it. Let's just do it. So she took me to this class, and I met Daniel and I met Sonia, and I was like, this is so cool. I have no idea what any of you are doing, how any of this works, but wow. And I was still a little bit hesitant, didn't know if I wanted to go forward with it. And then I actually had a moment with their son. He was 3 years old at the time, and his name is Ollie. And we were jumping on a jumping castle together, and I was holding his hands. And I suddenly had this realization that if I kept going with this work, if I properly connected to my higher self, I would eventually be able to tune in to children's higher selves, particularly my sister's children, because I definitely wanted to be an aunt at that point. Like, it was a humongous goal of mine. And so in the beginning, I thought that was my only motivation. But obviously now, nearly over 2 years now, 2 years later, I know it's different. But that's really how I got into the swing of things. And then I came to America for the first time in March 2013 with Sonia and Daniel, and it's just continued from there. So that's sort of how I found myself with Universal Intelligence.
Wow. Wow. So it literally, for a free meal, you got involved.
Well, what can I say? My motivations were a lot smaller back then.
That's the way we all are when we're in college, I think. Yeah. Oh, good food, home cooked, or
and
free, whichever. You know. Okay, so... I know we have some people lining up to ask questions on the call, but I'm going to ask you one that came to me through email.
Sure.
This is from a woman named Jean Harris, and I'll read you exactly the way she says it. What are some insights that need to be considered in establishing a balanced life? Her name is Jean Harris.
All right. Let's see. Okay, the first thing that's coming through from her higher self or intuition or whatever term she prefers is the balance that she's currently seeing right now is some things are good, some things are bad, and that's how life balances out. That's how it's fair. And what her higher self is saying is, well, actually what happens when you have, when you think like that, when you have good and bad, you've got a seesaw. Bad might be at the top and good's at the bottom, and then it will change. So that's not actually balanced. To have a balanced life, the insights are connect with your truth. Find out what you're passionate about and basically pursue it wholeheartedly, because when you do it like that, you'll find that all other areas of your life will become just in sync with you, and that's when you'll find true balance.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I like that. I realized that I forgot to offer some of the disclaimers, so let me just share with you who are listening. Let me share that what, well, actually, Shereen, I'll have you explain what it is. What are you doing when you get an answer like that? Will you explain to our listeners what you're doing?
Sure. So basically, I have a higher self, just like everyone else, and what I'm doing through my higher self, I'm connecting to that person's particular higher self. So in Jean's case, I was connecting to her higher self. And basically through that, I'm getting the messages from her higher self, who's quickly relaying it to my higher self in a way that I'll be able to communicate it to everyone else. And basically what we at Universal Intelligence call that, it's whole brain intelligence. So we get told you have a right hemisphere and a left hemisphere. And certain hemispheres are responsible for certain actions, like being artistic or being more analytical. And whole brain intelligence is actually merging those two hemispheres and connecting in to your higher self. And that's how I'm getting those messages and passing them forward.
Great. And so when I mentioned the word disclaimer, what I want to really be clear on is that these messages are not something you're drawing out of your own brain, per se, that these are really
correct.
Messages from the person's higher self. And also that when people are listening to your response, they are free to ask questions if they are not clear on it, right?
Definitely. And the other thing that I'll also say is, because it's coming from your higher self, it's completely up to that person whether or not they want to action that message or not, because we are all self-responsible beings. And basically, if you want to do something with that message, go for it. And if you don't, that's also okay. You've got complete free will. So this isn't like the be-all and end-all, anything like that.
Okay, great. That's really important to know. So I believe we have a caller now. We have Priscilla on the line. Priscilla, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Priscilla. It's nice to have you on the show. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay.
I have
good.
I have both the the computer and the phone going at the same time, so maybe I should cut one of them down a little bit.
Yeah, you're getting feedback. So, what's your question for Shereena this morning?
When you're in a situation that is frightening, that you're concerned about, do you use your logical brain and sort of make decisions about what seems logical, or do you wait for directions from the universe to decide what you should do?
That is an awesome question. I love it. Okay. Basically, so are you asking me personally or what your higher self is saying about what you should do in that situation?
I guess I'm asking my higher self.
Perfect. Okay. So what your higher self is saying for you, Priscilla, is there's a little bit of a push-pull between what you see as your logical mind and your higher self at the moment.
Right.
What's coming through for you is you've been raised to be logical about it. So, for example, if it's late at night, don't go to a shady side of town by yourself and walk around. That's not very
right.
logical, and you could put yourself in an unsafe situation. And
right.
what your higher self is saying is you only feel unsafe because you have these beliefs that the world isn't a safe place. that there's not really one place in the whole world where you could be completely, completely safe. So that's why you feel, okay, well, if I am in a situation that's frightening, I have to listen to my logical brain, which will literally be fight or flight. And what your higher self is saying, you lean heavily towards flight. And what your higher self, and that's okay. I mean, a lot of people are like that, myself included, prior to getting connected to my higher self. And what your higher self is saying, in reality, when you're completely connected to her and you've allowed her in and you're completely okay with her being a part of your life, you will find that you could go to a shady side of town late at night by yourself and you would be completely safe because you would be cocooned within the universe's arms. It's like a continual hug. And basically anything concerning that you've heard about that used to be a potential to happen to you, it wouldn't, because you would know, you've got that knowledge, my higher self is with me 100% of the time. So I'm safe. I am completely, completely safe. So that's how your higher self is saying you can. In a way, it's like meld the two, just by embracing more of her into your life.
So what I'm getting from you, I think, is that rather than make quick, logical decisions, take my time and trust that things will work out.
Yeah, a little bit. What I'm saying is you can get to that point where you can wait, talk to your higher self and go, okay, I know this is going to work out. But prior to getting to that step, it's about understanding and going, well, how can I let my higher self into every facet of my life? How can I allow her to be a part of everything that I do and not only believe but know that she supports me, that she cares for me, and that she will always keep me safe? And then when you're in that space all the time, then instead of going, okay, someone's invited me to this event, but, you know, it's late, I won't know anyone else besides the host, maybe I shouldn't go because I think the situation could potentially be frightening, you'll go, hold on, I actually have my higher self, and therefore I know I'll be okay. So that's sort of what you were mentioning, that do I just trust that it'll work out? That comes after allowing your higher self to be completely integrated with you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Priscilla.
You're welcome, Priscilla.
Okay.
Okay, Sharina, how do you allow your higher self to be completely integrated? I know that there are courses which people can access at discoverui.com, but in general, can you tell us how do you integrate your higher self like you just advised Priscilla?
Cool. So basically, the first step is to believe you have one, because once you believe that's possible, that becomes your reality, because we all know that we have that inner voice. There's one that can be super loud and very discouraging, very negative, and that's the one we usually hear most of the time. And sometimes we'll have moments, it might be like 3 a.m. in the morning, and you'll just wake up and you'll be like, what was this really quiet voice that was saying, do this, that answers this question that I've been contemplating, deliberating over for ages? Who's that quiet voice? But we forget about that quiet voice because the loud one starts to intrude again. So once you believe, okay, I do have a higher self, or I can listen to my intuition can communicate with me, then you're basically 100 steps closer to being able to integrate with your higher self. So if you're going, okay, cool, higher self, I know you're with me, how can I integrate you into my body or into my being or however you want to do it? And basically, if you're at the point where you haven't done the courses, then what I'm feeling to tell everyone is this. Your higher self will communicate with you in the smallest of ways. So it might be, for example, you can walk downstairs and you're wondering, okay, how can I integrate with my higher self? and all of a sudden something will drop on the floor, and you'll look at it like, okay, that's kind of weird, a bottle fell on the floor, but it doesn't matter. But if you take the time to go, why did that bottle fall on that floor, you'll find that there'll be that whisper again. And the whisper might be, grab the bottle, visualize that there's like golden light within it, and feel the golden light going into you. So messages come from everywhere is basically what lots of people's high selves are saying to me right now. And don't dismiss the quiet ones.
Very good. Very good. All right. We have another caller, Carol. Carol, are you on the line now?
I am. Hi. Thank
you.
Hi. I'm listening and you know, loving what I'm hearing. Not exactly how. Still, I know you've tried to talk to me about it, Eileen, about how to ask my questions, and we've talked about this before many years ago. But I have to say, I'm just kind of put it out there. What's going on for me right now in my life is I have never had a tougher time in all aspects, and yet I do think I listen to my intuition. It's very frustrating for me because I'm circling the drain financially, you know, with my business, with finances, with business, with goings on with the homeowners association that I'm a large part of, and I just don't. I would like to know what my inner voice is saying, because I thought I was listening all this time, and I keep every day I wake up I keep going. I go, okay, well, let's try this or let's try that. And
let me interrupt you here. I don't want you to give Sharina too much information so that you can really rely on the response that you get from your higher self. So may I
very
stop
good.
You here and yes. Sharina, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. So, Carol, as you were telling me about your life, your higher self, she quickly popped in and she waved her arms like people do when they've been stranded on an island and they're trying to attract the attention of like a helicopter flying overhead. And when I looked at her, she showed me that your intention is pure. You do want to listen to her. You do want to follow a life where she's your guide and you can have this beautiful, truthful, soulful life. She's showing me your intention is good and it's solid. What's happening is there's this big brick wall of resistance. So what happens is she'll say something, and by the time it gets to you, it's almost like, it looks like, you know when you see the speed of sound, how it travels really fast, and then at the end it like kind of explodes, and it's almost like a screech. And what happens is that louder voice that I was talking about before, that's negative, let's just call it the ego because it's a lot easier to say, it looks like your ego and other people's egos around you have basically teamed up together to create this wall of resistance. So like I said, your intention is pure. I want to follow my inner voice. I want to have this beautiful, productive life. But because there's this resistance that your ego and others have pulled together, it basically at the moment, until that gets knocked down, it's going to be very difficult to achieve the things you want. That's the first thing she's saying, and that's really contributing to why is this so, now I don't want to swear, but this is what your higher self is saying, why is this so damn hard, let's just put it that way, and that's why you're having, like you're feeling this is so difficult. So what she's saying is to knock down this big brick wall of resistance, see that other people, their actions, their inactions, and their reactions to you and what you're doing, it's completely irrelevant because it looks like while you do want to have an excellent life following your inner voice, there are people who are giving their 2 cents, solicited or unsolicited. And it's almost like you're trying to be nice. Oh, let's take this on. Well, I don't want to be rude. Let's listen to what she's saying. And that's why this wall's being created, because there's all these different people's opinions. And really, at the end of the day, they don't mean anything for you because these people are not your higher self. They're not your inner voice. So that would be step one of crumbling that really big wall of resistance, seeing that pretty much no one else matters besides you and your higher self, and not letting anyone get in the way of that relationship.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to
let me step in here while you're digesting. Sharina, would that mean, I noticed this with myself and lots of other people, that when we get into tough time, we talk about it with other people and we get their reactions and so forth. So what I was thinking as you were talking is there, a part of the message for Carol is stop talking about this with other people and stick with yourself. Is there any truth to that?
Yep, that's a big thumbs up from Carol's inner voice, because, yeah, it's almost like, sorry, I should have communicated this. As she's discussing it with people, it's like she's making a big web of energy that's allowing other people's energies to get stuck in there. And that's why it feels like we're trudging through this mud, and then, oh, there's that big wall of resistance that I was discussing. And that's why it feels like this is so hard.
Mm-hmm. So now, just for me to clarify, if she were to make a decision, I don't care how tough this gets, I don't care how close I am to exploding, I'm not going to talk to another soul about this. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to listen to my higher self, I'm going to do only what is motivated from inside of me. And she's to do that for, I don't know, 3 weeks to 3 months, somewhere in there, she could get through this?
Let's see. Her inner voice says 3 months until forever. Yeah.
Well, you know,
basically saying, yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, how do you exist on an island alone when you're having to deal with banks and you're having to deal with other people, and it's like you can't just do it all on your own. I mean, I'd love to do it like that, but you have to interact with people. I've always got my 72-hour hold where I don't discuss important things for 72 hours, and that's one thing. But all of this is interacting with the rest of the universe. That's where I get confused, you know?
Yeah, I completely understand. What your inner voice is saying is, she's not saying you can't talk to other people, you can't interact with them, and obviously you do require some interaction with these people, like banks, as you were saying. What she means, though, when she says basically almost go on a bit of a lockdown, is when you're interacting with them, hear what they're saying, but don't allow it to impact you. So, for example, if they're going, oh, Carol, you know, we can't do this, this, and this for you, don't take that into your body and allow it to be part of your energy, because that's what's really creating this, oh, it's so hard, it's so hard. So
right.
What she's saying is, if you set the intention that you've got this protection around you when you're interacting with these people, then yes, they can tell you what they can and cannot do, or whatever it may be, and you'll go, okay, thank you for letting me know. And then when you get out of the appointment or whatever it may be, you can go, all right, in a voice, this just happened, but I'm not going to let it affect me. What's our next step? And if you walk yourself through that, then you'll find that basically it'll become like a yellow brick road. Instead of it being like this windy mountain where you fear there's pitfalls everywhere, it'll just become like a yellow brick wall that will lead you, instead of to a wizard, it'll lead you to basically your truth and the life you're meant to be having.
That sounds wonderful.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
For your call. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So that's really wonderful, Sharina. Thank you. Next month, on the 18th of December, we're going to have this show again. And this time we're featuring another mentor from Accessing Universal Intelligence, Jana Arner.
And as we are doing this, we're demonstrating what you've been talking about today, Sharina, which is everybody can do this. So also, your older sister, Audrey Pearson, is doing a question and answer like this for the Universal Intelligence Group on Fridays, I think. Do you know how people can access that?
I do. So basically every Friday, 10 to 11 PST time and then 4 to 5 p.m. PST time on the same day, you can register to be part of Audrey's free group mentoring session. So basically you access this by going to discoverui.com, finding the tab that says events, and then registering for the free group mentoring session. So you can choose the date that you like. And then you'll be directed, I'm pretty sure, to a website called Eventbrite, just to register your name and your details. And then you'll get the details about the meeting. It happens on teleconference. So I believe that they provide you a phone number to ring in on. I don't think it's a website. And basically, yeah, for an hour, you can ask a question to Audrey and have her answer it. So get ready. Have your questions all ready to go for Audrey and prepare to be amazed.
Yeah. All right. So I also want to point out that Universal Intelligence at Discover UI has just created this fantastic new web page, and there's all kinds of features. So I just want to go over a few of them. If you sign up, you can get a newsletter. A UI newsletter, and you can subscribe to that free. And every week there are articles like Universal Intelligence is Whole Brain Intelligence, Cancer is Not a Death Sentence, Become Limitless with Your Superconscious Mind, A Business Tool No One Else Has, etc. So they're free articles that are there. I think Sonia writes those every week. And by the way, when you get the newsletter, you get a free 15-minute personal consultation, mentoring session, similar to what you're hearing today. And there are also courses offered. There's a 3-module, 2-week membership that introduces you to the basics. And for that, you also get a half-hour personal mentoring session thrown in. And there's a year-long membership, which includes the 3 modules, free attendance at a live course here in the U.S. or I assume Australia for a short time anyway, as long as some of our people are there. And an hour of personal mentoring plus 12 additional specialty area modules, such as one on longevity or your life's purpose or working with kids. So go to discoverui.com and spend some time exploring. If anybody asks you who sent you, you can use my name, I-L-E-N-E, or you can use Sharina's name, S-H-E-R-I-N-A. So, Sharina, before we end, I want you to talk about quickly the program, When Doctors Don't Know. Can you share a little bit about what that's about?
Sure. So basically, this is a television concept that's been developed by Daniel and Sonia because they were meeting so many people who had health issues and serious ones as well, such as bipolar disorder or fibromyalgia. Impotence, things like that. And every time these people had gone to the doctors, basically the answer was, here's off you go, and that's all we can do. There's never a talk of, well, let's try and cure this. It was just, here's the medication, here's the drugs, maybe we have to do an operation, sorry. And basically they decided that they were going to heal these people using universal intelligence. So I have seen some of the pilots. It is amazing. They've worked with people, like I said, who had fibromyalgia, impotence, Crohn's disease. So these are some serious illnesses and diseases that these people had. And basically, as the title suggests, it's When Doctors Don't Know. And we'll be showing you, well, this is how you can heal yourself. And hey, it's completely possible. No one actually needs to be ill.
Great. Thank you.
Well, I think we're running out of time, so let me thank you, Sharina, for taking your time to demonstrate what you do so well and for being here on Full Power Living today. People can access you at Sharina, S-H-E-R-I-N-A, at accessingui.com, correct?
That's it.
Okay. So thank you so much for doing this with me today. It's been a lot of fun, and I know you've given a lot of help. I appreciate you being here on Full Power Living.
Thank you. It's been awesome being here.
All right. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. We'll see you next week.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.